right here. I don't see it.
The following takes place between 7 and
8.
There
we go.
Welcome to All About Wine on Blog Talk Radio with your host, Ron of Florida Estates Winery.
Yep.
Wine enthusiasts can call us at any time during the broadcast by dialing 646-727-3235. Once again, the number is 646-727-3235. Yes. Wine industry representatives are also encouraged to join us on air.
This is Stuart Scott from Camas Prairie Winery in Moscow, Idaho.
Mike Brown, the Wine Growers Association of Georgia.
The executive director.
Michelle Meyer, I work with my father, Les Meyer, at Holyfield Vineyard and Winery in Basser, Kansas.
Westport Rivers Vineyard and Winery.
We're located at 417 Vicksburg Road, Westport, Mass., and our phone number is 508.
I'm on the board of directors for the Minnesota Grape Growers Association.
Always informative and entertaining.
Basically, what we're trying to do on this program is trying to educate people on, you know, trying to make wine less confusing and more friendly.
It's all about wine.
Yeah, where are you?
Yeah, here we are.
We're, how much, what kind of, thank you. Okay.
Thank you, those people, thank you.
We're still going. Okay.
They're happy tonight.
Must be the weather. So what time are you showing on your clock?
Oh, my. Well, my clock shows 58, 45, 44, 43.
Okay. Oh, so we're only a few seconds off. We're like 20 seconds off, because I must be east of you, and yeah, that's the only thing I can think of. I'm east of you, and it's just showing we're on different time, whatever it is. So welcome to
No, you're west of me. Where? Let's see.
Oh, I'm in like Zephyr Hills.
Oh, yeah, sorry. So you're east of me. So
I'm east of you. I'm in a different time zone. That's what it is. I'm in a different time zone. We're looking at the
on-air different
clock.
Time zone there. Puts us about 20 seconds off.
Testing the new studio setup software that they have installed, and it looks very nice. And hopefully we're just a few seconds off. We're like 20 seconds off of each other, but I think it could be either the eclipse or something else going on there, but whatever happened yesterday, but that's fine. But you're
delaying me when you talk so you can censor me or something, too. Good to see.
Didn't see that button. Welcome to All About Wine. we have, as I mentioned on the promotion page, the episode promotion page, we have the Vice President and General Manager, Ron, from Florida Estates Winery. From Florida Estates, you know, I got to get used to this. So anyway, we have Ron with the floor. There we go. And as always, and we have a couple of guests joining us tonight from the great state of New Jersey. So we'll have them on in just a few minutes, and which is our topic for this evening. Do you have anything to start off with? You want me to go ahead and go get our first guest? And
now let me tell a little bit about New Jersey, like I always do. A little bit about the roads in the state and the makeup and all that.
Okay.
New Jersey is located on the eastern part of the United States. It is bordered on the north by New York State, actually right across the bay from the Statue of Liberty. A lot of people in New Jersey can see the Statue of Liberty from northern New Jersey there. On the west by Pennsylvania and on the south by Delaware. They are a rather low state as far as elevation goes. It doesn't have a whole lot of high points. The highest point in the state is 1,803 feet above sea level. That is called High Point, which makes a whole lot of sense. The lowest point is obviously the Atlantic Ocean, which is sea level. The state has 21 counties, actually some rather large counties for such a small state. 21 counties in the state. It is has a the capital city is Trenton, and Trenton is located on the center east of the state, just across the from Pennsylvania. Main highways running through the state. There's quite a few interstates. There's I-80, I-78, I-287, I-280. I-95, 295, I-195, and 295 I mentioned. So there's quite a few interstates going over there. That's eastern part of the state, so it does do a lot of interstates and all that part of the country, as opposed to other states we've been to. Quite a few rivers running out in and out. of New Jersey. The northern part is where the altitude is, and because of the altitude, there's quite a few rivers coming out of there. But most of them, in fact, there's a ridge down to the center of the state, and I do believe New Jersey has some rather hilly areas there. And you can see with the rivers running out of the state that half of the rivers run to the east and half of them run to the west. Now, the ones that run to the west run into the Delaware River, which is the border between New Jersey and Pennsylvania, and that goes on down to Delaware Bay. New Jersey is, let me get something else up here. New Jersey has three AVAs. We've been, American Viticulturists, we've been talking about AVAs lately and stuff, and last couple of states we've been to, actually New Hampshire did not have an AVA, and Nebraska, I don't believe, had one, if I remember correctly, but New Jersey has three AVAs. Quickly, let me run over these. Warren Hills is located in Warren County, New Jersey. Warren County, New Jersey is, hang on for 1 second, I'll tell you exactly where it is. It's in the northeastern part of the state, just south of Sussex County, which is the top part of the state, and it's on the northeastern part of the state. There is an AVA just for that county. It includes several small wineries formed by the tributaries of the Delaware, or several small valleys formed by the tributaries of the Delaware River. The valleys drain northeast to southwest, and most of the vineyards there are planted facing southeast, the hills facing southeast. Primarily French hybrid grapes are grown in that region. The Outer Coastal AVA is located in southern New Jersey, rather large, 2,250,000 acres. It includes all of Cumberland, Cape May, Atlantic, and Ocean counties. And these are rather large counties all down in the southern part of the state. They are all along the coast in the southern part of the state. So they're rather large counties down there. It is characterized by the sandy or sandy loam soils of moderate fertility, relatively long growing season because of the influence of the Atlantic Ocean and Delaware Bay. That is the Outer Coastal Plain AVA. And then the newest AVA in Pennsylvania, is in New Jersey, borders Pennsylvania. It is the Central Delaware Valley AVA, and it's located in southeastern Pennsylvania, New Jersey, along the Delaware River. It has 96,000 acres surrounding both sides of the Delaware River, north of Philadelphia. Its southern boundary is near Titusville, New Jersey, just north of Trenton, and its northern border is near the Muscontocone, I believe it's pronounced, I don't know, mountain. They also grow a variety of vinifera and Labrusca grapes in that AVA. So three distinct AVAs that are part of New Jersey, which is rather odd considering the size of the state. You know, we've been to other states which aren't quite as big as that, and they don't have any AVAs. So three AVAs in New Jersey. New Jersey has a Grape Growers Association, rather large. I do want to quickly hit on this before we talk to our first speaker here. The Garden State Wine Growers Association, a very good association. It really is quite interesting. They do have a website, if you're interested, called the Garden State Wine Growers Association. You can look under New Jersey Wines and find it. But one of the things that they do in New Jersey, which I think is really fascinating, is they have a passport. Actually, this coming weekend, the 17th and 18th, you can go and start getting your passports for 2011. And there's a list of wineries that participate in this program. And if you visit all those wineries throughout the year and have them stamp your passport, at the end of the year, you send in your passport, and they have a drawing for everyone who has filled up their passport, they have a drawing, and they win a prize. Just for sending in your filled passport, you get a special gift from the a distinct complimentary gift from the Grape Garden State Wine Growers Association. But the grand prize this last year for the lady who won, her name was Kathleen Hunter, won a trip for two to the Italian wine country.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, really, quite a big prize. Really interesting. So they
that
do
is.
This every year. I think it's a great idea. So
absolutely.
If you attend the wineries and all that, and this is something they do in New Jersey. One of my customers came into the winery and was telling me about this, and it was, and I saw it on this site here. So it's really a great thing. But the Garden State Wine Growers Association, a great website, all sorts of information on there. Tell us about festivals. It has a list of all their wine trails. They have Atlantic County Wine Trail, Cape May Wine Trail, Cumberland Wine Trail, Gloucester-Salem Wine Trail, Shore Wine Trail, Sussex Wine Trail, and Warren-Hunterdon Wine Trail. These are all wine trails in New Jersey, and this website has maps of them and tells you about them. So, by all means, check it out.
Very good.
We are going to have a speaker today.
Yes, and he is ready to go.
Oh, I see him. He's online. Yep. I see him on hold here. I've been holding him for 3.5 minutes.
Sorry about that.
His name is Tom Sharko from Alba Vineyards. Tom, is he with us yet?
Yep, go ahead.
Oh, yeah.
Hello,
there
Tom. I'm sorry I kept on hold for so long, but I was bragging about your state a little bit there.
Yeah, it's funny because you have one of the few wineries that's not a member of the Garden State Wine Growers Association.
Yeah.
I don't know how you guys got my name, but we're the largest estate vineyard in New Jersey. We really do something unique in the state, and we grow our fruit, which is kind of different than what most New Jersey wineries do. But we have one of the largest vinifera plantings on the East Coast. We're in the Warren Hills AVA. That's the oldest AVA in New Jersey. And we grow about 46.5 acres currently of producing. And then we have another 12 acres in one state or another, non-producing, but either just planted or 1 year or 2 year old. And we grow narrow row, high density plantings, which the average East Coast vineyard puts 600 to 800 vines per acre. We put 2,300 vines per acre.
Wow.
Which is a really, it's a high-end West Coast system. It's very common in Europe. But we've really focused on our soils are limestone, really rich limestone. And that's the classic soils of Burgundy. So we really focus on Pinot Noir, Dijon Clone Chardonnay, Riesling, a little Cab Franc, some Barbera. And then we grow a few hybrids, Chambersin, Cabernet Blanc.
Wow. How many acres?
Well, we farm over 100, but currently we have 46 acres producing.
Wow.
And we're just finishing up clearing 7 acres that we'll plant in Riesling next year. And this year we did a Barbera planting, and last year we did a big Chardonnay planting. So we're farmers, and that's really our focus, because we're firm believers that really great wine comes from the vineyard.
So you are in the Warren Hills AVA then?
Yep.
So the soil, everything, tell us why the AVA. Tell us about the AVA and the soils, the significance of it.
Well, the soils are a real mixed bag. It's a terminal moraine from a glacier millions of years ago, and so you get really unique soil. And our soils are very thin and rocky, extremely rocky. And we farm all hillside vineyards. It's just a really unique microclimate for us because it's where the Musconetcong River merges with the Delaware River.
Okay, pronounce that river again.
must connect tongue.
Okay,
I did hear you try. It was a good effort.
I'm just going to point out, that's how it's pronounced.
Yeah. You know, you take a look at that word, and you're right on the money. Nobody can pronounce it.
I didn't want to destroy the name of the mountain, but I
okay.
So the you said very thin soil, so it doesn't hold water well.
No, not particularly well. And we believe, like the French, we're true dry farmers, and so. A vintage year is a vintage year. Whatever Mother Nature gives us every year is what we get.
Wow, that's quite a departure from what we've been hearing and talking about, especially on the East Coast wineries.
Well, New Jersey is really two distinct growing regions. Northern Jersey from 195 north has real soils and rich hillsides, and then once you get down to South Jersey, it's a lot of sand, and those guys really do irrigate, and the grapes that they grow are, it's really completely different varieties. You could grow Syrah, Merlot, Cab Franc, Cab Sauv, so you can really hang the fruit a lot longer than we do in the north.
So tell us your weather influence then at the winery. I know,
well,
you're north, so it's going to get cold and warm in the summers. Tell us your highs, your lows, your how long the winters last, when does it set in, all that good stuff concerning weather, if you will, please.
Well, you know, God Almighty, every year is a whole new ball game. I'm just amazed at the difference. You know, a few years ago, we had hardly any snow. The ground never really froze. Last year, we had record amount of snow. The ground froze like a rock. Winter came early, stayed late. So last summer, we had some of the highest temperatures we've ever had. We had a couple 100-degree days.
Wow.
But usually in our unique valley, because of the rivers and the way the microclimate is, we'll get really cool temperatures in the evening. 50s aren't uncommon, but 60s, and then we'll get real warm days. And that really is what makes Napa and Sonoma such a great growing area,
right,
is the really cool nights and the warm days. And we have very similar microclimates. The only problem is we'll get rain throughout the summer, where you go out to California and usually by May or June the rain has ended.
Right. Did your bud break usually happens when then, considering your cold winters? When do you usually get bud break on all of your plants?
April, late April into May. Every variety is a little different. Riesling, Gewurztraminer, they're traditionally a little late. Chardonnay, Dijon Clone Chardonnay is early. Pinot Noir is just a week or two behind Chardonnay. Cab Franc, that's just a little bit behind the Pinot. So, and then we'll do a green harvest at least once, and we're asking every vine just to give us its very best. So we're not looking for high tonnage per acre. We're looking for quality, which is extremely important to us. And so we can hold our fruit right up into, it's not uncommon to pick late in October.
Wow.
Wow.
So you... You're planting so densely, though, and you say that you're not looking for high tonnage. Do you do a lot of cutting back on your vines? And
well, we're on SO4 rootstock, and the Pinot Noir, we have Pommard 777, 667, and we have the classic Dijon clones for Chardonnay. But what we do is we do a really intense VSP, vertical shoot positioning.
Right.
And it's all the fruits positioned, all the shoots are positioned, and we'll pull leaves and we'll hedge and we'll do whatever it takes to really, that's where our wine's made, in the vineyard. And before we harvest, we'll go through, everything's hand-picked, but we'll go through and if 2 days before harvest and take the fruit off that doesn't look like it's going to be perfect because we have labor issues and we can't always get really great labor to harvest. And then we will, so they'll pick everything, no matter what we tell them. And then we sort. We're one of the few wineries in the state that sorts our fruit at the crushing pad.
Wow. That is labor intensive.
Yeah, everything we do is very labor intensive, but it really pays off in the final product.
So you mentioned your grapes. Tell us about each of your wines. And I know you have a lot of them, but that's okay. I'm curious about some of these.
Well,
tell us a little bit about each of your wines.
Between the East Coast and the West Coast, really. You know, the West Coast, it's 90% wholesale, 10% retail. And on
right.
the East Coast, it's 90% retail, 10% wholesale. Although we wholesale a little bit more than that. But our flagship wine is Pinot Noir, and that's our estate Pinot. And then we make two Chardonnays. We make a pretty much a white Burgundy style, fermented in stainless steel, just a hint of oak on the finish. And then we do make a barrel reserve Chardonnay that is fermented in oak, aged in oak, so it's got that big oak texture. Then we make a wine called Heritage, which has won the Governor's Cup a couple of times and done very well in wine competitions around the country. And that is Cab Franc. And we only will produce it in really great years. In the last, I'm going to say, 10 years, we've only made a Heritage 3 times.
Oh, wow.
So we only do it when we've got, you know, something really extraordinary. And then we grow one that I'm not sure you guys probably know it. It's Chambersin, which is pretty unique to the East Coast. There's some in Washington and Australia, but it's big up and down the East Coast. And we're one of the few people that really low crop yields, really get it ripe, rich and ripe. That's the last variety we'll pick. And we age it in French oak for 2 years.
Wow.
All our reds go, not Pinot, but most of our reds go through at least 2 years of French oak. We're 100% French oak, and it makes for a really unique wine. Our 2008, that's what we're selling now. It's just got a 86 in the Wine Spectator, and it will be
wow.
July. You know, from being from California, you know, you really want a 90, but being on the East Coast, anything above 85 is really a great score.
Yeah, well, East Coast puts out some nice wines. We've noticed that in a lot of the wineries we've talked with. Your dessert wines.
They're really coming on. I'm really impressed by what they do up in the Finger Lakes, and there's a core group in New Jersey. There's about 6, 7, 8 wineries that have professional winemakers that have big estate vineyards and are really doing the right thing in New Jersey. And so it's really exciting in the last 5 years to see all these people coming on.
There's you know, what I've looked at and what I've seen, it's just some exciting wines coming out of New Jersey. What about your dessert wines? Tell us a little bit about some of those.
We make 4 dessert wines. We make 2 fruit wines, a raspberry and a blueberry, and then we make 2 ice wines, a grape ice wine that's made out of the Double Blanc and Riesling. It's a blend, and we call it Dolcina. It means little sweetie in Italian. And then we make ice apple wine called Forbidden, and that's made out of cold-pressed apples from our neighbor that we get in November. And that's really sweet and luscious and rich. And that one we've done very well with. Got a 94 in tastings.com. And really has been a really interesting wine. the fruit wines are also kind of unique. And raspberries, 100% big hole red raspberries, nothing artificially added to it. And that got a 93 in tastings.com. And great with anything chocolate. And then we make a blueberry, which is 100% New Jersey blueberries. And it's just a little bit different fruit, but it's something really unique. And they're just fun dessert items.
The late harvest apple, your ice wine apple, is that retain its apple flavors?
Oh, yeah.
Around?
Yeah. Yeah,
that sounds
it's
interesting.
Very, very unique.
Wow, that's going to have to be a destination to go visit your winery here. I've got a blank there. I was going to ask something while we were talking about those, and I got excited about that apple. Government, New Jersey government, in your opinion, good, bad, indifferent, you wish they'd go away, you love them, what?
Well, I tell everybody the hardest thing about being in the wine business is the government. And from the local level to the county to the state to the federal government, I mean, it's just the weight of government is incredible. And the politics in New Jersey are probably just so different than anywhere else in the country. I mean, as bad as you hear things about New Jersey politics, it's probably worse. You know, we're all embroiled in the direct shipping lawsuit, and these guys from out of state, big money from out of state, tried to come into New Jersey and bring the lawsuit, and they're using the wine industry as pawns.
Yes.
And sadly, it's really doing a lot of damage to some really good people, because people who have invested millions of dollars in new operations can produce wine, but can't get a license to sell wine.
Oh,
and
wow.
And it's all held up because the Attorney General won't issue any more winery licenses until we resolve the Third District Court ruling against retail and outlets, all stemming from the direct shipment lawsuit. And so the Assembly has passed a bill that fixes that, but the Senate, Steve Sweeney, who's president of the Senate, the most powerful senator in New Jersey, is holding the whole industry hostage because he wants direct shipping tagged to the resolution that fixes our problem with the Third District Court. And so direct shipping just has never been able to pass. And what he needs to do is just let us fix our problem with the court and then go ahead and try shipping another day. But he refuses to do it. And, you know, it's sad because I could name you six new wineries that can't get a license to operate, and they're losing thousands of dollars a week just because Senator Sweeney won't allow the bill to fix our court problem to proceed.
Well, for all the people around
this, ugly in New Jersey.
For all the people around this country who aren't familiar with that, expand on that a little bit about the Third District Court and what's holding this up, what's happening with that.
Well, a guy by the name of Bob Epstein, who takes these lawsuits throughout the country, came to New Jersey. He's an attorney from Indiana. He actually grew up in New Jersey, but he came to New Jersey and he sued New Jersey and Governor Corzine when he was governor and the attorney general, and he said that it's not a fair state because in-state wineries are allowed to sell direct to the consumer and out-of-state wineries are not allowed to sell direct to the consumer. And so he thought that the court was going to rule in favor and allow shipping. Well, the court decided in their infinite wisdom that, no, shipping is conforms to the laws in New Jersey. But, Bob, you are right. New Jersey wineries can sell to retailers, and out-of-state can't. And so they ruled against retail and our right to sell direct to the consumer. We do outlets. And so these outlets in other states, it's a common practice. You have an outlet that's miles away from your winery, but you sell
right.
your wine there. and that's crucial business to New Jersey wineries. So in order to fix that third district court ruling, Assemblyman Cryan came up with a bill that fixes our court problem. It allows out-of-state wineries to do retail in New Jersey and in-state wineries to do retail. Out-of-state wineries could have outlets. In-state wineries can have outlets. So it fixes it. But Senator Sweeney, who's been an incredible proponent of direct shipping, won't let that bill into the Senate unless it has a provision to allow shipping also. So he's holding us hostage, and he's costing jobs, hundreds of jobs, and he's costing thousands of dollars. I have three outlets pending, and one outlet is probably worth between $1,000 and $2,000 income a week. So I'm losing every week between $5,000 and $6,000 because Senator Sweeney won't allow shipping, won't allow the court fix to go through. So it's not pretty in New Jersey.
It sounds like it. Is that us ding-donging?
I don't know.
Oh, it must be. Someone has a couple of questions. Someone's on hold that has a couple of questions here. I guess they are questions for you, Tom. You up for a listener's question here?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, we're going to bring you on live here, listener. You have a question for Tom? Welcome to the show, by the way.
Yeah, hey, Tom. This is Don. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good, thanks. Two quick questions. Number one, are all wines generally made with sulfites?
Sulfite is a naturally occurring process. So there are some sulfites in just about every wine, and it really depends on the level of where the wine is going to be sold. You know, sulfites are a preservative, and for people, big wineries that are going to sell all over the world, there's a higher level of sulfites in generally than a wine that's probably going to be sold locally and is not going to be sold, you know, through warehouse and distribution, that kind of thing.
Okay, so that's kind of a general rule of thumb there. Okay, got that. That makes good sense. Second question is, I've been experimenting successfully with wine coolers this summer, just mixing different red wine blends with fresh lemon juice, fresh orange juice, you know, and the club soda. I just want to ask, have you guys, do any wineries make like a high-end wine cooler, like not the cheap ones you see in the 7-Eleven, but are any wineries that make high-end wine coolers, or have you guys experimented with wine coolers at all?
None that I know of.
Actually,
not
most
too bad.
Well, you can find a lot of wineries, caller there, a lot of wineries do put out their different fruit wines, which some wineries infuse it with their Merlots and their other grapes that they grow there. So they wouldn't refer to them as wine coolers, but they are blends of the different grapes with different fruits, which might be something along the line of what you're looking for there. It's they're usually not real heavy wines or lighter, fruitier style wines with a little bit lighter, fruitier taste. So it's a possibility that might be something that you're looking for. And I don't have any specifics for you right now, but I do know that there's quite a few wineries around the country we've talked to that do something like that.
Yeah. You're in Milford, Tom?
Yeah, Milford, New Jersey.
Any bears come around and eat the grapes ever?
No, we've completely fenced in our vineyard. That deer is the biggest problem. And then after deer, you've got turkeys, wild turkeys, but the coyotes have taken care of the turkey population.
It's
amazing how that works out.
Yeah, I'm originally from Kinnelon. I live in North Carolina now. But know Milford quite well. So,
well, Don, thank you for calling in. We appreciate it, and continue to listen to the show, and we appreciate you do listening.
Yep, thanks for taking my call.
Okay, Tom, a couple more things before we get off the air. with you. Again, appreciate all of your information. And are you familiar with Senate Bill H or House Representative Bill H.R. 1161?
Which is?
It's known as the CARE Act.
Oh, okay, on the federal level.
Yes.
Yeah, you get so bogged down with being in New Jersey on the state level that, you know, you deal with the federal level, yeah. I'm actually on the board of directors for Wine America, which is the largest trade organization for the wine industry. I represent a number of East Coast states, and Wine America is against that bill.
Oh, big time, yeah. And so is everybody that I try to talk to and try to inform about, yes. Well, good.
Yeah.
You are on the board of directors for Wine America. Well, very good.
Yeah, it's a great organization, real grassroots. It really, in California, you have the California Wine Institute that represents California wineries, which kind of leaves out everybody else in the United States. And so Wine America really takes up the slack and represents wineries in all 50 states, I believe, now.
Yeah, I think they do. I think they're, last I read of it, it is in every state in the nation, and including Alaska and Hawaii. Well, Tom, give us all the information about Alba Vineyard and Winery. Tell us how to get a hold of you. Tell us your email address. Tell us your phone numbers. Tell us your location. Everything you want to pass on to our listeners here so that they can get in touch with you and or visit you when they get an opportunity.
Well, it's Alba Vineyard in Milford, New Jersey, and our website is simply albavineyard.com, and you can email us at wine@albavineyard.com, and our phone number is 908-995-7800, and we're open every day, 7 days a week, 10 to 5, 11 to 6 on weekends, and I think the next day we'll actually be closed is Thanksgiving Day, so that and Christmas are the few days that we are actually closed. But other than that, we're there every day, and it's a beautiful, beautiful hillside vineyard. It's housed in an old stone barn from 1801, the winery, and it's a wonderful tasting. And on weekends, we have music under the arbor, jazz, blues, bluegrass. So come on out and buy a bottle of wine and enjoy some really interesting music, and it's a great experience. We're less than an hour and a half drive from downtown Philadelphia or midtown New York. So that's a large population, and people come out every weekend.
Fantastic. We wish you the best of luck. And it was great having you on the program. Very interesting. The bit about New Jersey is the legislature and all that in there, something I wasn't aware of. And that's something that is everyone should be familiar with. Things like this happen all the time, and not everyone is aware of it. So,
yeah.
Thank you for all that.
Yeah, well, thank you very much for thinking of me. And if you ever like to call again, don't hesitate.
Well, I will definitely put you on my list.
Okay.
Yep, definitely.
Thanks a lot, Tom.
Thanks, guys. Yeah, have a good night.
Thank you,
too.
Yep, bye. Yeah, I was getting our next guest on the phone, and I missed. Did he give us the contact information and everything?
Yes, he did. I had him give it all the how to get a hold of us and all that good stuff and everything. Next, we have someone else standing by for us here.
Yes, we do.
Richard Heritage from Heritage Vineyards and Winery.
And he's on right now.
Richard, welcome.
Thank you. We appreciate you thinking of us and having us on the show.
Well, I'm glad you can join us tonight. Heritage Vineyards and Winery, tell us about it.
Yes, absolutely. We actually started out back in 1999 as a apple and peach farm here in the southern part of New Jersey. And the Heritage family has been farming this property since 1853, so I myself will be the sixth generation to continue the agriculture. And, you know, to make a long story short, you know, we were struggling with apples and peaches, looking for something new to keep the family farm going, stumbled upon wine grapes and really kind of dove into the vineyard scene and really used our strength in farming and agriculture to grow some phenomenal fruit. And really, over the past 2 or 3 years, started advancing our winemaking program, working with a world-renowned wine consultant, John Levenberg. And we've made some fantastic wine over the past 2 years. And this year we were just rated New Jersey's top winery. So we're very excited about that.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you.
You say you are the sixth generation?
I myself will be the sixth generation, yes. My parents, Penny and Bill Heritage, they started the vineyard. My dad, Bill, currently runs the vineyard program. My mom manages the finances. Seems like that's the best way to do it, you know, have your mom manage the money there. And I just graduated from Rutgers for business and marketing, and then I do all the sales and marketing for the family winery.
Oh, wow. Very good. Well, we're going to talk about the vineyard and different things like that now. So you're going to have to take off your marketing hat and put on your vineyard hat.
Yes.
Tell us about your vineyard. What do you have planted? How many acres? Where are they planted? All that good stuff.
Sure. I mean, I myself have a very close connection, you know, to the property and the vineyards. I've grown up on the farm. So I spent a lot of time on the farm and overseeing, you know, a lot of the planting. Currently, we have 35 acres of vineyard in the ground. By the end of this year, we'll be pushing closer to 45 acres.
Wow.
And really, I mean, we've been, I like to say, pioneers, because New Jersey did not have a lot of research as to what can be grown here in the southern half of New Jersey. So most of what we've done is plant experimental test rows, evaluate how those grapes did, and then, you know, for what showed the most potential, we expanded our vineyards. So to the best of my knowledge, we have the most diverse vineyard program in all of New Jersey, growing everything from Malbec, Petit Verdot. We've experimented with some Pinot Noir. We do really well with Merlot, a few hybrids, Chambersin. We're seeing a lot of potential in Sauvignon Blanc and Chardonnay. So, you know, we're really starting to get some established vineyards, and it's just showing, you know, so much quality in the wine now that our vineyards have become established. And then just to be more specific, we're definitely honed in on the fact that our vineyards are very similar to what you would see in Bordeaux. So I think what is most premium and the best of what's coming out of the vineyard is Merlot, Cabernet Franc, Petit Verdot, Malbec, Cabernet Sauvignon. And then beyond that, Syrah is also doing very, very well for us, based on the fact that the southern half of New Jersey is very, very warm. We get the most degree days in our county, of Gloucester County. So we take advantage of that and do some fantastic reds.
Are you in an AVA there? Are you in the new Delaware Valley AVA?
Geographically, you would consider us the Delaware Valley. Our AVA is officially known as the Outer Coastal Plain. So the southern half of New Jersey was once underwater, back during, I guess, the Ice Age. So the southern half of New Jersey is kind of like a plateau or a shelf. So we see a lot of sandy, rocky soil. Our particular property is the highest elevation in all of South Jersey. Most of South Jersey is around, I would say, 69 feet above sea level. Our particular property sits 90 to 100 feet above sea level, and that's just because our ancestors just cherry-picked this property because of the high elevation. So we're actually just really lucky in that, shifting over to wine grapes, I mean, we just have a gem. This particular spot here in southern New Jersey is just phenomenal in terms of the soil and the elevation that we have.
Speaking of soil, what do you have?
Well, most people would be familiar with the sandy loam. The winemakers and vineyard managers, they refer to it as loamy sand. I don't know if there's a huge difference there, but they're very attached to the soil. We're so lucky in that when you walk through our vineyards, you know, you see a lot of sand, a lot of rocks, and there's a little bit of that loamy character. A little bit of that organic character in the soil. And for those that are familiar with, you know, New Jersey being known as the Garden State, that's what allows us to grow such a diverse variety of fruits and vegetables. Many people know the Jersey tomato. So, you know, we get a little bit of that organic material to really grow some great fruit. But what's most important for the vineyards, obviously, is just that well-drained character, that sandy, rocky character, and the vineyards are just thriving and doing really well.
How deep is that soil? I mean, how thick do you have that sandy loam before you start getting down to garbage?
Yeah. I mean, we've actually got some soil tests done and kind of dug down a little bit just to make sure before we planted 35 acres of vineyards, you know, we're not hitting any kind of clay or water table. So to the best of my knowledge, they're looking at, you know, 50 plus, you know, 80 plus before they you know, they're really hitting any risk of water or clay. And that's because of our high elevation.
Wow, that's amazing.
And I actually did a little research before you guys called, and Bordeaux has more clay in their soil than we do.
Wow.
So we're excited to learn that and to work with that. So we're in great shape.
We were just talking, I don't know if you got a chance to hear any of it, we were just talking to Tom Sharko from Alba Vineyard.
Yes.
He's located in the northern part of the state. And he was describing the weather up there, and he said the southern part of the state gets a little bit different weather. Tell us regular season, January through January, where you are.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, Tom makes some fantastic wines. I mean, between Alba and ourselves and a handful of others, we're really pushing the quality wine movement in the state. You know, up north, they're doing really great with some Riesling, to the best of my knowledge, and some cooler climate grapes. Down south here, right around Mother's Day, we get bud break. And then we're harvesting in early November. So we have a nice long growing season. To the best of my knowledge, in Bordeaux, they're getting bud break a little bit later. But no, we get a ton of degree days, a ton of heat down here. So the reds just do fantastic. I mean, between Merlot and Cabernet Sauvignon and Syrah, they just really suck up that sunlight. And our particular property where we have the slope, the high elevation, it just faces perfectly to the southwest. So they're sun drenched. And then, you know, I'll tell you, we deal with some variability. I mean, here on the East Coast, you know, back in 2009, we had record rainfall, and then, you know, back in 2010, we saw record heat. So, I mean, we see variability in weather, you know, which is what you would see in Bordeaux in terms of vintage year. But, you know, actually Bordeaux is battling a higher humidity than South Jersey is, so we're lucky that we don't quite have the humidity that parts of Bordeaux have.
Which brings up another point, too. What bricks are you picking your grapes?
Well, let me see. In terms of bricks, I mean, geez, that varies a whole lot. I know in talking with the winemakers, 2009, they were really struggling for some high bricks. And, you know, you see this with quality producers. They'll leave the fruit on the vine, which is what we did in 2009. We left fruit on the vine into mid-November. I mean, we were the last vineyard, I feel like, in New Jersey to pick. So they were pushing hard for high bricks, even in a bad vintage year. We lost maybe 30% of the fruit. And then back in 2010, and these are wines to keep an eye on from 2010. That was the best vintage year we've seen in over a decade. You know, the winemakers were just gasping at the refractometer at how high the bricks were. I mean, we had California bricks back in 2010. So, it really just depends on what the weather's given us. And,
you were getting,
so
normally
so
you pick around 2022, and then from what I understand, you're saying then in 2010 you jump to 25, 26, 27 then.
Yeah, I don't know if we were quite hitting 27, but, you know, we're up in that 26 range for 2010. And, I mean, it's a really nice challenge, kind of a nice surprise for us, you know. I mean, the wines are really telling a story. I mean, you can tell in 2009 the wines are real, real lean, real, real elegant, real pretty. And then in 2010, I mean, the fruit is just big in the wines. So, I mean, in my opinion, I like not seeing that consistency as much because you're really telling a story with the vintage. So, you know, we have a lot of fun with it.
Tom was telling us that he plants his grapes really pretty heavily per acre. How do you guys plant?
Yeah. Right. That wouldn't surprise me. And you know what? Tom and my father, Bill Heritage, they would absolutely agree. I mean, our vines are planted so close to bring down that vigor in the vine and bring up the, you know, the intensity of the fruit. It's really kind of outrageous. I mean, some of these guys, they're really shaking their heads saying, you know, why are you planting your grapes so close together? Your yields are going to be so low. And we're just like, you know, that's what we strive for. So I mean, that's kind of the risk you take. You plant the vines close together, you get low yields, but we're just a quality producer. You know, we're not pushing for big volume. We're not making jug wine. You know, we're making craft wine, and we're really trying to highlight the best of what New Jersey can do. And our vines, our newer plantings are much tighter, and then the fruit is just really showing even more potential.
Interesting. Tell us about your wine. You said your wines. Now's the time to tell us about a few of them. I've got your list
sure.
in front of me, but tell us about some of your whites, your reds, your sweets, your semi-sweets, your desserts, all that.
Yeah, absolutely. I guess the primary wine that I'd like to highlight first, we call it our BDX, which is, you know, an abbreviation for Bordeaux. It's a blend of primarily Merlot, Cabernet Sauvignon, Petit Verdot, Malbec, and it's our first time diving in to French oak barrels. We really incorporated the French oak. That's our most premium red. And I'm looking at a sheet now. Our BDX from 2009, which is really kind of a weak vintage, actually beat Reynolds Family Vineyards from Napa Valley and Chateau Julien from Monterey County in a blind tasting. So it received 94 points. And the BDX runs $35 a bottle, which is half the price of the wines that beat from California.
Wow.
So that's the one we're most excited about. That's the one that people are going to recognize us for. It's just our total effort, you know, put into that single wine. So the BDX is fantastic, great red Bordeaux style. Drinks a little bit richer, a little bit more fruit than you would get out of Bordeaux, which I like. And then one that seems to be really interesting and piques a lot of interest is the Chambersin. Chambersin is a French-American hybrid grape. A lot of the French refer to it as not being one of the noble grapes. They don't even want to touch it, you know. But I think it's our wild card. I mean, we in the beginning did not want to get into any hybrid grapes, but we planted this Chambersin, and the first vintage took best red wine in New Jersey, so we couldn't deny, you know, how well that does. And this Chambersin is like the East Coast Red Zinfandel. I mean, it's big fruit. The wine just stains the glass. You get a lot of blackberry fruit, real, real soft tannins. And a lot of people I see in the tasting room are tired of Merlot and Cab, and they want to try something different. So Chambersin is just a unique wine that's really, really kind of our wild card. And then one other wine to highlight would probably be our Chardonnay. I mean, we are huge fans of Burgundian Chardonnay, you know, lightly kissed with that French oak, not over oaking it. You know, the oak just enhances the fruit. We just took a gold medal for that Chardonnay in the New Jersey competition. So I think if anybody drinks our wines, those are the three that will show, you know, what we can do to our highest potential.
Sounds fascinating, really fascinating. But we cannot ignore, though, the fact that you do some fruit wines.
We do. And you know, we got into the fruit wines because, you know, let's be honest, New Jersey, if you read anything about New Jersey, is known as the fruit wine state. And you see that throughout the East Coast. A lot of people are drinking, you know, the Concord wines, the Muscats. And we decided to do a peach wine to kind of pay tribute to the previous endeavor we had. So before Vineyards, we were a peach and apple farm. So we made a peach wine, and my dad was very against it. You know, he didn't want any sweet wines. And then he saw how much of it we sold. cash is king, and we had to fund this growing operation. And we happened to make a very good peach wine. So, you know, we don't do crazy things. We don't make a pomegranate wine. We stick to what we grow here on the farm. And it just pays tribute to, you know, the previous generation and, you know, and what we've done in the past. And it really, really satisfies the South Jersey consumer. You know, a lot of them are looking for some sweet wines. We do an apple wine. We grow some apples here on the property. And they just love it. And, you know, I know these customers, as time goes on, all of a sudden they're moving up to Chardonnay, and then they're drinking the BDX. So it just gets them involved in the wine scene, and they love that. So So I think that's primarily why we do some of these sweeter wines.
And I have no problem with using sweeter wines or any other ways to introduce people to wines. You're absolutely right. They do move up.
Sure. Sure. Absolutely.
As I always like to ask, your opinion of the New Jersey government when it comes to the wine industry, good, bad, indifferent, you wish they'd go away, what's your opinion?
It's a little bit of a speed bump. Yeah, definitely a speed bump. I mean, we're doing what we love overall. You know, we're making some great wine, and more and more people are getting turned on to it. I'll admit, yeah, we would definitely like to be able to ship a bottle of wine directly to the consumer. A lot of distributors do not want to pick up our wines that are $15 plus retail. So, the consumers can't get their hands on it. And New Jersey's fighting pretty hard. You know, they do not want shipping. And they have even gone as far as to threaten to take away our tasting rooms. And anybody knows that, you know, anybody knows that a winery producing 5,000 cases without their tasting room, you know, they're dead in the water. So, I get spotty information. I'm really involved here in the winery, but the information I get is that, you know, New Jersey wholesalers are, you know, they're fighting hard. They don't want to give an inch, and they're threatening to take away our tasting rooms, which, and this is no exaggeration, if they take away our retail privileges, 95% of the wineries in New Jersey would be out of business within the month.
Wow.
So in my best opinion, I don't foresee that actually happening. That's a worst-case scenario, but it's definitely something to keep an eye on, and it would just be devastating to see a fast-moving industry just, you know, be swept right out from under us. So, we're a little nervous.
That's amazing. New Jersey's doing that. I never realized New Jersey was so... stupid, if I may use the word, about their approach to the wineries. You know, I've said before,
sure,
and I will continue to say, that if I can just speak in front of the legislature for every state in the nation, all I need to do is about 30 seconds say, wine is a multi-billion dollar business in this country. If you want part of it, you need to wise up.
Sure, sure.
And
yeah, I totally agree. If you follow, just follow the money. The wholesalers in New Jersey may be the strongest in the entire country, and that's plain and simple why this is such a tough fight. There's just no – you can't lawyer up against those guys.
That's amazing. One more thing here, Richard, before we get off. Tell us all about Heritage Vineyards and Winery, how to get a hold of you, what's your email, what's your phone number, what's your Facebook, everything about your winery and all
sure.
that, so people who can get a hold of you and or visit you when they are up around the Philadelphia area or in all that.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, it's Heritage Vineyards and Winery. Our website is www.heritagewinenj.com. We have a very active Facebook, a lot of events going on. We're one of the very few wineries in South Jersey to be open every single day. So we're sampling wine every day. We have music on the weekends, big wine events, barrel tasting once a month. You can call us right here in the tasting room, and that number is 856-589-4474. Anytime you come in, you know, the family's here talking about the wine. We're extremely passionate, and I think that's what's allowed us to become, you know, New Jersey's top-rated winery for 2011.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for being on the program with us. And if we ever need to talk with someone again, we will definitely put you on the list and be in touch with you again. We do appreciate your time.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Bye now.
Yeah, I was just looking at their. I don't see how much time we have.
Minute.
Oh, 40 seconds. Real quick, and then I'll mention something when I was watching. You have a wine class coming up June 18th, which is this Saturday. Am I right? This Saturday from 2 p.m. to 5 – it's going by. 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. So definitely check it out at Florida State's Winery. For more information, go to the website at FloridaEstatesWines.com, FloridaEstatesWines.com, or give them a call at area code 813-996-2113. You can also email them, but I don't see that how many seconds I have in front of me. But the cover 20. During this class, it's Huh? Oh, all kinds 20. Of topics are covered. Thank you. About wine, the history of wines, varietals, diseases, glass styles and uses, and you also do wine tasting. It's a great time over at the winery, Florida State's Winery on State Road 52 in Lake Florida.
Very good. If you're live, goodbye.
and notice at the top it says now recording.
Yeah, we're recording.
Cool.
We're on. We're on extra time now.
That's pretty cool.
Cool.
Back to Heritage Wine, I was just looking at their website that they have Unwind Happy Hour every Thursday from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m., which is kind of interesting. Barrel Tasting Weekend, July 16th and 17th, which is all cool. And what I didn't get to ask him, there's a picture of Twilight Tasting. It's two nights of wine, music, and art, but it looks like the trees or the vines are decorated in white lights, and I just see rows of lights. I don't know if that's theirs or if that was – it looks like a holiday picture. There's, like, mountains in the back. I don't know where that came from, but I was going to see if that was part of their winery or what, but it's incredible, all those lights out there. And just a lot of events going on out there, and I meant to look up Alba Vineyard and see if – I don't know if you covered what they have coming up or anything, but I was going to look at their site, but I've been on Twitter also, and thanking everybody, telling people on Twitter who we've been talking to, and thank you to Don also for calling in and asking about the sulfites and wine coolers, which I have enjoyed in the past as well. But so I'm starting to use that a little bit more than what I used to. But I was typing all that stuff out while the show was going on. So
that's why we keep you around, because you're good at that. I got an announcement. I know we're all about wines, but this sort of ties in with all about wines. Mark Wagner used to work up at the winery with me a few years ago. He's no longer working at the winery, but I just got an announcement a couple of days ago. Mark and his wife, Deborah, on May 30th, welcomed a son. Ryland Mark Wagner is his name, 6 pound, 4 ounce. He was born at, you're not kidding, born at 6:40 in the morning on May 30th. 18 inches long, 6 pound, 4 ounces. Congratulations to Mark and Deb for their new addition to their family, and welcome to the world, Ryland. You got some cool parents there, so I wanted to bring that up.
Very cool, very cool. Yeah, we can do announcements like that. That's fine.
We can do whatever we want. It's our program.
That's right, and we're in overtime right now, so.
Yeah, we can do whatever we're getting paid, want.
We're getting paid time and a half.
We are.
That's always good. the more we keep talking to these wineries, the more I just want to hop in a charter bus or some kind of transportation and just start heading up there. And seeing these places.
The two we had tonight sounds just fascinating. I mean,
oh, I know.
Really?
Now 2,300 vines per acre. That's what Alba.
That's a lot.
Is that, I mean, so what's the standard? He was saying, like half that maybe?
A little over half that. Probably about 12 to 14.
Okay. Wow.
Those are tight. Those really are. They're pretty tight. Usually grapevines are planted at 6 or 8 foot centers. When I say centers, that's where the plant goes into the ground. And then 6 to 8 foot away, there's another one. Some places even go as further than that, go as far as 12, 15 feet. And so, when you're starting to talk about that many vines per acre, you're getting those things, four, five, 6 feet apart. You're planting those things really close, which makes for very thick vineyards, which your canopy can get very thick too.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to watch that, because if you have too thick of a canopy, it tends to shield the grapes, especially in New Jersey there. With humidity and the heat, you're going to start getting all sorts of problems with diseases and different growth and stuff. So, these are things that, when they said they were planting them that close and getting that many plants per acre, I just...
Yeah, it kind of shocked.
It did. It shocked me. I mean, They compare themselves a lot to the Bordeaux regions, the Burgundy and Bordeaux regions. Everybody in New Jersey seems to be doing that. I mean, some of the websites I've looked at and all that compare a lot of their soils and their climate to Bordeaux. And that surprised me also. It sort of makes me want to try some of these wines in New Jersey and see what they are coming up with.
Well, there you go. We get a station wagon or something, and we just
jump
head on up there.
Head up north.
Yes. Let's see if anybody... no, didn't see if anything retweeted anything, so I'm going to log off of Twitter. Yeah, that was a very interesting night, and we have... by the way, you cannot call in after our hour is up.
Oh, really?
Yes.
It won't work, huh?
In case you're listening to the archives and you're like, gosh, you know, maybe I'll just, since they're doing extras now, I'll just call in. But you can't. I just tried it with my cell phone, and I got the, there are no shows scheduled at this time, even though we're sitting here talking. So the chat
overtime.
Cut out. Yeah,
just
chat
for the
cut
people
out.
Who listen in archive.
Yes. So this is the extra stuff. So not only are we on overtime and getting paid, you know, time and a half, but we're giving you these extra few minutes, and you know, but you can't call in, unfortunately. So, but very interesting. Yeah, I was jotting down a lot of information, and once again, if you're listening, you know, on the archives, Tom or Rich or Don, you know, thank you for calling in or you know being on the program. And
yes, definitely,
very interesting
thank you.
Show. Next week, are we going to try to
recover? We may do a little bit more New Jersey next week.
Yeah, okay.
I have had a young lady who says she wanted to join us tonight, and
right.
A family emergency came up, and
yes.
So she wasn't able to. And so I think she might be joining us next week. So we'll we're going to continue New Jersey a little bit more next week.
Excellent. Okay, so I will put that down, and I don't know where we are alphabetically, but New Jersey is easy to do because
need to fit in there.
Doing now. Yes.
Let's see what that's in New Jersey. We've got
New Mexico. New Mexico. Yeah.
Oh, that should be fun.
We're getting into the desert states. Well, we did Arizona. I mean, they did. We do. I forgot how many wineries we're in. I've got to look at my notes and see where Arizona went to. But
Arizona, 44 wineries.
I remember one of those other New England states we discussed. They also did. You were talking about a the contest where you can do the wine trail and they'll stamp your. I forgot
right.
What state that was, but we did cover.
I did too, but since you mentioned it, I remember that.
Yeah, I got to look. I know I have it down somewhere, but we did a state that up, and I thought it was up in the Northeast that they did the similar thing. We were both like, oh, you know, there's incentive right there if nothing else. But
yeah.
I'm looking at it. Very interesting.
So it was fun. New Jersey, interesting
yeah.
state for
yeah.
wineries.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And the problem they're having, I'm going to have to check some more into that government fiasco that's going on up there with shipping and all that stuff. That sounds like something that
yes,
we'll look into a little bit more here. So
definitely. All right. I will we'll go ahead and go from here and call it a show, I guess. Just let everybody know, listening to us on archives, because we do have a lot of people downloading the show from iTunes or from Blog Talk Radio, and we appreciate that. Florida State's Winery is open daily from 11 a.m. until 6 p.m. You can do tastings and retail sales there as well, and it's just a great place to go in and enjoy some world-class wines. Florida State's Winery is located at 25241 State Road 52, that is in Land O'Lakes, Florida, off of Interstate 75. Take exit 285 and go west about 4 miles from the interstate, and you'll see the signs there. Or you can get there also by getting on State Road 52 from the Suncoast Parkway and going east, US 19 as well, and US 41. But you just have to go a little bit further, I'm just saying. very easy to get to, lots of parking. You know, if you do have a charter bus, I think you could, I don't know about turning around, but you could definitely
you
go
can.
One way on that street. Oh, can you really?
You can turn around, yeah.
Wow.
We've had buses in there, and they have turned around.
Excellent. Well, there you go. So it's proven, take a charter bus down there, grab a group of people, you know, the Redheads are a great group to have down there. But let's see, you were talking about them earlier. Give them
yeah.
a call at area code 813-996-2113, 813-996-2113. Is the phone number to call Florida State's Winery, or email corp@flewn.com, corp@flewn.com. If you want to email the show itself and pose your questions, maybe for an upcoming show or comments or anything like that, Ron would love to hear from you, and as I would as well. Ron checks the email at allaboutwine101@gmail.com. Yes, that's allaboutwine101
florastateswinery@gmail.com. Visit the website for more information on Florida States Winery at www.floridaestateswines.com. And don't forget the wine class this Saturday at Florida States Winery. And it's going to be a great time. So we'll see you all next week at 7 p.m. Eastern Time right here on Blog Talk Radio /All About Wine for a continuation of New Jersey. And I believe we'll have another guest
from, at that time. From New Jersey.
So,
yeah,
that's it. Thank you everyone
for listening. Appreciate it.
Thank you. We will see you all next week.
See you next week.
Yep, show's over.
Show's over. We get to go on too.